This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio Ignition. Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rock.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. Joe Costello back with you here on WFO Radio. And the first-time listener, he is out there. The Daytona 500 is in the books. Joey Logano, the prophecy comes to pass. That's right. Joey sliced bread. He was four. The kid has been racing since he was a fetus. And now he is the second youngest Daytona 500 winner. The way it all went down, I know there's some angry people out there. I know it. Angry people, Kevin Harvick fans, and Dale Jr. fans, making up the angry crowd. We're going to get into all of that. We actually opened the phone lines to some WFO Radio listeners right after the 500. You know, our voicemail is always open, and we did get some feedback. So we'll get into that. Of course, we'll talk about the 500 and all the stories leading up to it. But first, each week it is something we do on the show. We welcome the first-time listener. People out there who are clicking on links and following on social media and just accidentally find the show. It happens every week. And on this particular week, this particular episode, both of Ignition and WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, which was just tremendous, with Matt Hagan taking your calls and Tony Schumacher talking about his big win out there in Arizona, the Carquest Auto Parts NHRA Nationals, Roger Brogdon giving all kinds of inside details, what's going on in pro stock. And then Alan Reinhart and I really breaking down the Street Outlaws controversy. Nitro was just spectacular. But here on Ignition, we got to go back to the Daytona 500. And I know we've got a ton of first-time listeners. I just know it because there's something in the works, something cool. And if they're listening, then they know. But at this time, it's still a secret. And so without further ado, welcome to the first-time listener. This is WFO Radio. Hopefully you like it. And you will join us each week on a weekly basis and become part of our online community, either on the WFO Radio app or on Stitcher or on TuneIn or on new ways to listen that I'm sure you're very well aware of. Before we go any further, let's bring on the great Giovanni in Miami, co-host and cohort, partner in, I would say crime, but that would be promoting illegal activity, which we're against.
Hey.
There he is.
We're here.
There he is. The WFO Radio Handicappers pick a winner. Bob Smith picks Joey Logano. How about that? This kid, after all we heard, Mark Martin, sliced bread, and then he goes, he fills in for Tony Stewart, and he was treated in a way that I think was, he steps in. Greg Zipidelli steps in, and another example of how the NASCAR motorsports-based media jumped to the conclusion that the kid wasn't going to make it. And as it turns out, oh no, he made it. He made it in a big way. In fact, he has solidified his position in NASCAR history with this victory. Last year was the breakout year, and this year is the proof. And I'm expecting, obviously, a huge year from Joey Logano. There's so many angles. But initially, I feel the kid is such a kid still. He's back in a position of, is he going to be able to handle it again? When he came up the first time, the question was, is this kid too young to deal with being in the Cup Series, with driving the 20 car, with stepping in to fill the shoes that were once filled by Tony Stewart? And everyone wrote their stories, and there were bumps in the road. He's a kid. He's really a child. And then he evolved. He grew through it. He grew out of it. He had this breakout year last year. Now he's a Daytona 500 winner, and I'm feeling like he's right back there again, because suddenly every camera is on him, and everybody wants to interview him, and he's on Letterman, and he's still just a kid. Does he have the chops, the material to do it, to be the face of this sport for the next, you know, 3 to 6 months at very least? And it's going to be interesting watching. His post-race interview, where more people learned about Joey Logano than anyone had ever heard before. This was it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. He was smiling. He just had the Kool-Aid smile. His eyes were practically closed. He was smiling so big. I don't know. The reality was too much. It was overwhelming for him, which is in a way refreshing, but also there's a huge responsibility associated with being the face of the sport. So many angles. Jeff Gordon's final Daytona 500, Joey Logano's first Daytona 500 win. Is this, in effect, the passing of a torch, so to speak, from one generation to the next generation? We often talk about Gio's little son, little G, and why on earth he picked Joey Logano to be his favorite driver at 3 years of age. Who knows? His uncle is a Dale Jr. fan, and his dad is a Tony Stewart fan, and why on earth would he pick Joey Logano other than Joey Logano looks most like a kid, a three-year-old, closest to a three-year-old?
All right, but let's be fair. He's not that kid anymore. He's been around a long time. He's been fired.
Yeah.
So once you're fired, that's it. He's going to be 25 in May.
I know, but they have done scientific research that has proven that your brain is not even fully developed until you're like 30. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops. He is already married. He lost a wedding ring in the first 2 weeks. That's a bad stat. It's just a bad thing to do. But all in all, the whole Daytona...
He's just not accustomed to wearing jewelry.
I can relate. Believe me, I can relate to the jewelry part. So we got a lot to get into. Of course, we'll give the full results and we'll talk about it. The Kurt and Kyle Busch situation is also hot. Fernando Alonso involved in a testing crash on Ignition. We focus primarily on what most listeners are interested in, which is the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. But also, we have a driving passion, more as fans than analysts, of Formula One. And this year is very interesting because on the show we had a great rivalry between Red Bull and Vettel and Ferrari and Alonso. But of course everything has been turned upside down and now everybody is kind of on the Vettel-Ferrari team. And Alonso is gone, goes to McLaren. We're getting ready for this big season of what's going to happen. And suddenly Alonso is involved in this horrific testing crash. There is no video of it. But he gets a concussion, he ends up in the hospital, and it just changes the nature of the season. The whole Alonso thing. Obviously, we wish him the best, but wow. We don't know how long it's going to be. He's going to miss the final test of the year. He was in the hospital for a couple of days. It seems like it's more serious than initially thought. I don't want to speculate. But definitely a bummer for Fernando Alonso. Kyle Busch, crash in the Nationwide Series race. And if you've listened to WFO Radio for a long time, this is difficult for us. It's a difficult moment. It's really brutal, in fact, because for years now, dating back to our days on NASCAR radio, on XM satellite radio, dating back to XM Sports Nation, dating back to QAM in Miami, maybe not that far back, but it seems that every square inch of concrete that is not covered by a safer barrier is a magnet for someone at some point. And it has happened multiple times over the years, and there's only so many times you can flap your arms about it and scream bloody murder about something, and then you get exhausted. Well, we got exhausted on this show. Because our listeners are really great people and they log on every week and they subscribe to the RSS and they download the app and they listen to the show. They're not radio listeners that pop in and out. The way the show works is you listen from the beginning and you listen to the end and maybe you get bored 10 minutes in and you check out and you never come back and then you're gone. See ya. Or maybe you've got to do something, or the doctor calls you, you come into the doctor's office, you pause it, you come back later. But if I keep saying the same things over and over and over again, I know you got it. You got it. And the new listeners, hey, listen, this is what we think. But a long time ago, we gave up screaming about the exposed concrete. Because we're not getting anywhere. People know how we feel. NASCAR was going to lose another driver, either temporarily or permanently, because a car figured out where the exposed concrete was. Something we said for a long time, and then we gave up on it. Well, here we are now. We're back. It has happened. Broken leg, injury severe enough that Kyle Busch will be replaced by David Ragan. Kyle Busch, a mega superstar, a lightning rod of the sport, was out for the Daytona 500 and will miss a large portion of the season, if not the whole season. Why? You know, Brian France, who we salute on this show and pay tribute to his decision-making in terms of the way they've modified the chase and all kinds of different things, funding the Daytona Rising and the way they have done things, there's respect paid and tribute paid and credit given. But earlier this season, at the start of the season, during the state of the season, the question was asked specifically. If I want to prove the point, like a lawyer, will bring up the quote, but I'm not going to bring up the quote. You know the quote. You heard the quote. We're not going, we feel as if we've done a good enough job to cover the walls. It took one race for a car to find exposed concrete. And everybody says immediately, why not? And it's an example of NASCAR being reactive and not proactive. And you can spiral down into the sadness and disgust of why it happened. Those tire barriers that they had, that they put out there after the Xfinity race. Did I say Nationwide earlier? I think I might have. We're going to have to get a jar, the Xfinity jar. And at the end of the year, we'll take the money and go, you know, we'll buy a bag of Rodak's coffee. Which, incidentally, Giovanni and I are both just buzzing on the Rodak's coffee right now. It's just out of control. But why weren't those tires in front of, I'm not talking about safer barriers, why weren't those tires in front of the exposed concrete at the start of Speed Weeks? Why did it take someone having to break their leg in there? And someone will say, well, you know, the mathematical calculations, or there was a reason. I'm sure there was a reason. I'm sure. But in the end, you lost one of your drivers. And the radio guys are going to blame. You know, we're going to blame. Yeah, you guys messed up. And we don't want to do that. That's not what we want to be talking about. But when I flip on the news, NBC World News tonight, and what are they talking about? Kyle Busch, NASCAR, safety issues. And 90% of the people watching that program are not NASCAR fans. And all they know is that. And then when you think back, what could have been done to prevent this negative publicity? Well, we could have dragged those tires from over there to over there. Because as we drove around the track that we're at every day, we could look at that 600 feet of exposed concrete wall and say, you know, I think a car could get over there somehow, some way. But no, nobody did that. Or there is a real reason. And I don't want to be a firebrand and torch people on the program, but it just doesn't make any sense. And they haven't supplied a reason. A reason hasn't been given. Why didn't you cover that with the tires that you had clearly over there? From the Rolex 24, tire barriers are everywhere at the facility. They had exposed concrete. Guess what? Kyle Busch found it. Broken leg, he's out. David Ragan, silver lining, getting a great opportunity. You know, if you want to look at it that way. The silver lining. That is David Ragan. And then finally, Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch suspended indefinitely. Regan Smith taking over that ride because of the ruling of the judge in the family court deal. And this has irritated a lot of people. Some people feel that Kurt wasn't convicted of anything, nor was he charged with anything, as far as I understand it. But it is very interesting to see. Very interesting to see.
Not yet officially charged with anything. That is correct.
That he loses his opportunity to run the Daytona 500 and is suspended indefinitely based on the ruling of a judge that said, and we're not going to read the legal brief here, but basically that the evidence pointed to the fact that it's more likely than not, although not proven, that Kurt did do some things that were out of bounds of social acceptability. And so he was removed from the seat. Is this the last time we're going to see Kurt Busch? There is a petition going around on the internet. One of our listeners, L. Ray, is sharing and tweeting. He's a Kurt Busch fan. He feels like it's unfair. And people are signing up. I believe there were 6,000 signatures to get Kurt Busch back. Yeah, you're wondering, right. These people, they're very passionate. In the end, it's the timing. Timing is everything. And following all the problems that the NFL has had, the publicity and media that social, that domestic violence has had, NASCAR made a move that is in their corporate interest to sit Kurt Busch down until we figure out what's what, period. And in the end, how can you, that's their corporate interest. They have the right to do that. Kurt Busch, through his actions over 10 years, is the reason that so many people feel the way that they do. Did he do it? Did he not do it? How was it? Was it a lover's quarrel? She's a reality star, or not a star, but a reality wannabe star, a wannabe reality star. So there's a lot of different angles. And there you go. There's the top stories. But now the results of the Daytona 500. Here they are. Joey Logano, joy, as Kyle Petty says, takes home $1.5 million. Started fifth, led 31 laps, won the race. All credit to Joey. He did win it under caution, though. Same way Dale Earnhardt did. So for those people who are out there saying in any way, shape, or form. Now, we're going to have a discussion about this coming up in the show. We got a lot coming up in the show. The Kevin Harvick fans and the Dale Jr. fans are irritated and angry that the race did not go green to the end, that NASCAR did not allow them to race back to the checkered flag the way they did the night before in the nationwide race. And that is what's got everybody talking. Consistency. It's always consistency. If you got a rule and you publicize the rule, caution comes out after the white flag, the race is over. And then you don't do it on Saturday for reasons that they had, reasons. And then Sunday comes, you can imagine that people would expect the same result. Especially if you're a Dale Jr. or a Kevin Harvick fan and you guys are storming up charging to victory. Certain victory for one or the other. Or
maybe not. Maybe joy holds them off.
Or maybe the three of them cross the start-finish line in a ball of steel, which is what my pick would have been. There was definitely a lot of momentum behind those two Chevrolets. But we'll never know. But fans were upset. Fans were irritated. A lot of people said the word anticlimactic and all that. I disagree with all of that. I give the race a 8 or 9 out of 10. I thought it was wildly exciting. This is how some races end. Joey Logano's the winner. He's a new, fresh, and exciting young face. He drives for the captain, Roger Penske, the guy who is the best at picking up other people's talent. The talk in the archive on WFOradio.com about Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano is long and deep. We talked about it, how both of those drivers picked up by Penske. Oh, okay, yeah. And look at his team now. One of the best, if not one of the best out there. Driver combinations.
Definitely the best for a two-car operation.
So, well, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Well, when you consider that everybody else has got three and four.
Oh, yeah,
that's what I was saying, not just that they're the best two-car operation.
But when you say that, I immediately started to think of all the other two-car operations out there, and I was not coming up with too many of them.
Front row, maybe?
Right, exactly. Like so it's not there's not a lot of great, but you are
but
correct.
But there's a reason for it. When you have three or four cars, there's a lot more information to share and a lot more information to learn from.
It's right. They're out kicking their coverage or whatever you want to say. Kevin Harvick comes home second. Dale Earnhardt Jr., third. Dale Jr., I felt like he said it himself. He made a mistake. He made one mistake. The guy drove a great race to that point. He had an unbelievable car. He had maybe one of the best cars he's ever had at Daytona, and he made a mistake. For Dale Earnhardt Jr. fans, it's the one that got away, at least for me, the one that got away. This was a Daytona 500 that he should have won. He should have won it. He said he should have won it. He knew he should have won it. He made a mistake. He fell back to 18th. From third to 18th, and then rallied back to third. Thar's racing. It's the way it is. It's a miracle he was able to get back to third, testimony to how great his car was. Denny Hamlin, fourth. Jimmy Johnson, fifth. Casey Mears, sixth. How about that for the C drivers out there? We'll give the WFO Radio Fantasy League results at some point coming up in the future. You'll never guess who won the week, the first week of 2015. Clint Boyer was seventh. Martin Truex Jr., eighth. Casey Kane, ninth. KFK.
Hawking stuff?
Oh, don't do it, man. Don't pour salt into the wound, please. It was a big thing. Greg Biffle, 10th. David Gilliland, 11th. Sam Hornish, Jr., 12th. How about Sam? Michael Annette, 13th. Austin Dillon, 14th. Eric Almirola, 15th. Regan Smith, 16th. David Reagan, 17th. How about those two? Both getting opportunity. Matt Crafton, 18th. Johnny Sauter, 19th. A.J. Allmendinger, 20th. Just look at 10th through 20th. Look at the names of drivers and analyze them for star power in NASCAR. Think about it. Danica Patrick, 21st. Danica. And now here are the drivers that are looking at Danica's rear end. And of course, since our last show, the Danica Patrick Denny Hamlin audio has been analyzed. It is in the archive. We made it available to you on Friday. And that whole conversation, Denny and Danica and the duels and, you know, you're loose, Danica, all that. We've got a great audio file in the WFO Radio archive where we break it down so well that our WFO audio breakdown is being utilized to teach broadcasting and media students how to do it.
And break it down?
It's part of the curriculum. Absolutely. And break it down, too. Cole Witt, 22nd. These are the drivers that are looking at Danica's rear end. Cole Witt, Carl Edwards, 23rd. Bobby Labonte, 24th. Paul Menard, 25th. Michael Waltrip, 26th. Jamie McMurray, 27th. He was on my fantasy team. Not good. Ty Dillon, 28th. Ricky Stenhouse, Jr., 29th. Trevor Bain, 30th. Michael McDowell's looking at Danica's rear end. And Reed Sorensen's looking at Danica's rear end. Jeff Gordon was up front all race, led a ton of laps. Had a great, led the most laps.
He was top 10 until the last lap.
Taken out, the final crash. That's it. It's just sad. It's sad that that happened. But it is what it is. Kyle Larson, 34th. Matt Kenseth, 35th. Mike Wallace, Justin Allgaier, Ryan Newman, Ryan Blaney, J.J. Yaley, Brad Kay, Tony Stewart, and Landon Castle. Guess who had Landon Castle on his fantasy team starting as a C driver? This guy. 18 laps into the race, I knew my fantasy league team was just junk. It's too bad. All right, when we come back, we'll get into it. We got to do our fantasy league breakdown. We'll listen to the callers talk about how angry they are. And, of course, the wide open line, 954-889-6796, works just like a voicemail anytime, day or night. Give it a call, leave your opinion, express yourself, and we'll get into it. But first, I want to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, do you like coffee? Do you like gourmet coffee? How about 40 single original blends of coffee from around the world? How about custom blends like the namesake of our show, WFO Radio, or Bang the Blower, which is what we are drinking here today, Bang the Blower. Marvin has got them all. 817-924-6821, shipped to your door, roasted special for you. He'll ship it to wherever you happen to be, and they even have micro lots of coffee. Kopi Luwak, the organic Sumatra, the New Guinea, they've got it all. Panama, Carmen Estate, they've got it all. Go to the website, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Simple as that, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Either you get the WFO Radio Blend, or you get the Bang the Blower, the A26 Barbecue Spice Rub, and the hot sauce is hot. You're going to love it. I love it. And everybody that has tried it has loved it. Giovanni is hoarding it in a very, very horrific way for all his friends. But we are loving it. Give Marvin a call. He likes to hear about your tastes in coffee, and he'll ship it right out. Tell him you heard it on WFO. Tell him, Marvin, I heard it on WFO. 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell them, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back at ZMAX Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. Nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Forrest blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. Welcome to all the first-time listeners. You made it through the first break. That's big. Giovanni in Miami after the Daytona 500. We opened the WFO Radio phone line, and we sent out a push notification on the free WFO Radio app. The phones are open. Send in your thoughts. Give us your calls on the Daytona 500. You want to hear what came in?
Of course.
Of course. Well, let's check it out. And let's go out to the WFO line following the Daytona 500. Who's out there on the wide open line?
Hey, guys. Tim here. Manitude. Congrats to Joy. I did not hear one word of the Fox newscast. I synced everything up on MRN, and it was a great race. Sorry, Junior couldn't win. I got wrecked early, but bring on real racing. Cannot wait to get to Vegas and get out of this frigid Iowa. WFO, boys.
Who's out there on the wide open line?
Dominic.
What's up, Dominic? What'd you think of that race?
It was an incredible race, but man, that finish kind of bothered me. Like, you just can't end your Super Bowl of races that way. There's just, whether the lead would have changed or not, still would have loved to have seen a good race to that line.
I listen, as a Dale Jr. guy, you know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this could be the greatest comeback ever.
Same way with me. Like, that comeback, I mean, it seemed really hard to get past somebody who was leading. But, I mean, I just wish they would have let it race through, because between those three, they could have really got exciting.
It was, to me, I'm like, my heart is still pounding. I haven't come down yet. It was great. The whole day was great. Dale Jr., I don't know if you're implying you're a Dale Jr. fan, but, you know, he made a mistake. He admitted he made a mistake. That's it. Like, you can't make a mistake like this in this sport now, and he did. But to get back to third was great. But my issue is, and I think we're hearing it from everybody, why was yesterday in the Xfinity race, why did they let the green flag stay out in a confusing way? It looked like everybody was kind of confused, and then today they didn't. Did they throw the caution today because of what they did yesterday, or I don't know, and I think that's where I'm confused.
Yeah, see, I didn't get to finish the Nationwide, well, Xfinity now, it's still not used to that.
Right, or Norma.
But hearing it in that way, but they ended it, you know, with a caution this way, that's even more of a bummer. Because, you know, like they said in the pre-race, this is their Super Bowl. This is their biggest event. It's bigger than a championship race. So, you know, why would you end it that way?
What would you have done, though? Like, because it was the final, the white flag had come out, their rule, they have that rule in place. So I really don't see a way that they could have done it other than let them race back to the green flag or to the checkered flag. But I don't know. I can't say right now definitively because I don't know where safety vehicles were. I don't know what was on the track. Jeff Gordon was out there. So I'm with you, though. I wanted to see it go to the checker.
Yeah,
because I think the result would have been different, maybe.
That's pretty great racers going at it. And, you know, it seemed hard to get, you know, that guy in the front to get past him unless you really had help. But those cars seemed strong, and that 88, it seemed like when it lost the draft, though, it could still compete with those lead cars when it was up in the front.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did. He made moves all by himself, and they ignored it on television. And I don't want to go crazy about how bad the TV broadcast was, but it was as if they were watching a different something than what we were watching. They were watching a different show.
Yeah.
Dale Jr. is passing two guys by himself on the high side. They don't even mention it. There was just a million things. Maybe it's us, because we're focused in on one guy, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dominic, thanks for your call.
One move he made when he was midline, maybe close to the top, but he went up higher and passed two, and I remember seeing him do the same thing at the bottom on a straightaway.
Yeah. Tremendous car.
Two guys like that.
Good news is the car is in one piece. They'll be able to run again in July and at Talladega. But, what might have been his third Daytona 500. All right, Dominic,
yeah.
Thanks for listening, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. The wide open line is making a move, baby. We got people out there. They are calling in. Thoughts on the 500? Look, Dale Jr. fans are disappointed. This is the agony of defeat. Joey Logano fans are excited. They're loving it. This is the greatest thing ever for them. Are you kidding? Joey Logano is sliced bread. He has emerged. This is it. All those years of sliced bread. Do you remember? This is where WFO Radio goes back and points out the folly of the media. How many members of the media were talking about Joey as if his time had passed, as if he had missed his opportunity, as if he was a failure in the Sprint Cup Series? Now the guy wins the Daytona 500 and is just, that's it. He's a god of NASCAR. Let's go back out to the WFO line. Who's out there on the wide open line?
This is Josh, Fairy Dust.
I don't know Josh, but I do know Fairy Dust. what's up? What'd you think of that race?
Oh, my God. I mean, it has to be one of the best 500s I've seen. I mean, that 3x3 racing for 30 laps was unreal. But I got to say, I'm very disappointed in that caution coming out at the end of the race. I mean, we had the Xfinity race the night before.
There it is.
And they wrecked on the front stretch, and they let them go around and finish in under checkered. And the wreck that happened today was off of turn two and the back stretch. No problem with, you know, cars coming around and hitting anybody. So I would like an explanation from NASCAR. I mean, not myself, but.
No, we're going to get one.
I would like.
We're going to get one. I agree completely with you. A previous caller said it. That's what everyone is saying. It's one of these things where I hope that this doesn't in any way tarnish what I will remember as one of the greatest Daytona 500s I've watched. I mean, it was so incredible, just everybody coming up and showing that they had what it took. We avoided, like, the really big one, But yeah, because of yesterday, because of the Xfinity race, if you watch the final laps of the Xfinity race, you thought to yourself, okay, they're going to let him race back, or maybe they should have thrown the caution yesterday in the Xfinity race, which is kind of what I think. I think that yesterday in the Xfinity race, they should have thrown the caution. The race is over. That's the rule. Everybody knows it. But then they started to let him race back, and they let him race back. And so then I'm thinking, now what's it's inconsistent is the end of the story. It's inconsistent. You've got to be consistent. You got to call it one way or the other so we know what to do and what to expect. Let me ask you, though, are you a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan?
No.
Okay.
I'm a Kevin Harvick fan.
Oh, even worse.
That's why I was freaking out, because Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
he was at the race,
and he had the scanner on Kevin Harvick's channel, and they had an agreement that Jr. was going to push Harvick when they got to the backstretch. And if you go back and watch it, you can see where Harvick goes up and Junior starts to follow him, and that's when they threw the caution.
Yep. No, I know.
So, like, they would have blown right past him, and so I'm still shaking right now.
No, it's a heart-pounding moment. It was thrilling. It was super exciting. For me, as a Dale Jr. fan, you know that I feel like he had the best car all day. And made one bad move that just went, they made him pay, man. His competitors, nobody, anybody who thinks, at very least, that Dale Jr. gets special treatment from the fellow racers because who he is, they let the Sharks just tore the flesh off of his body on that move. And,
oh, yeah, the seas parted when... he's on my fantasy team, and I was expecting him to win.
Yeah.
And, that move he made, I mean, it just sucked him all the way back.
For him to get back to third is a miracle. It really is. It's a miracle for him to get back to third.
It
was unbelievable, but a great race. Joey Logano, a deserving winner. He got up there and battled. He passed Dale Jr.
Deserving is argumentative.
Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't get to see. This is why my complaints all day. I was tweeting. I don't know if you were on Twitter, but I was tweeting about the television broadcast, and it seems like every time they went to break, they missed something very important. And what they did miss, the move that they missed was Joey Logano passing Dale Earnhardt Jr. after Dale Earnhardt Jr. had led a large portion of the race. It was a defining moment where had we seen it, which we didn't see it because we were watching on TV, we would have said to ourselves, and all the people at the race saw for themselves, wow, Joey Logano really has a car that could be considered the best car, and he just went up there and passed the guy with the fastest car and put it on.
Yeah, and he passed him on the outside too.
See, I don't even
nobody could do that the whole race.
We didn't live that. We saw it in replay after the fact, after a commercial break, and it's just different when that happens. So, hey, Logano, sliced bread.
I agree with you 1,000%.
Kid is sliced bread. All right, fairy dust. Hey, one more thing. I want to just in case.
Yeah.
You fairy.
Good luck in the league.
I hate you.
Later. There he is. There he goes. Fairy dust from our WFO Fantasy League, which has 90-something people in it. 90-something. We were able to create a very large group this year, and we'll see what happens this year. But he's in the league. I'm in the league. Of course, who did I have as my C driver? You want to guess? Anybody want to guess? Just take a guess. Guess. Could be any one of the sea drivers. Yeah, of course. Landon Castle. Of course. Who's out there on the WFO line?
You know I'm not going to leave my name because you know who this is. That race was just a preview of how bad the season's going to be this year.
Who's out there on the WFO line?
Yeah, this is Team 14.
Hey, Team 14. There, you just missed.
You fairy.
Just called in.
Yeah, he knows how mad I am right now. He's like, calling the show and Ben. I'm like, yeah, I need to. I'm on I-4 right now. I'm almost back to Orlando already, but I'm just totally disgusted with NASCAR right now for them not finishing that race. I just can't believe it. I mean, it was a great show all day. You know, even though Tony wrecked, I was still pulling for Harvick Jr. And, you know, under that red flag, they were talking to TJ Major, and, you know, Junior made a deal, said he's going to push Harvick to the win, and, you know, They went, the plane lined up completely, and the big wreck happened on the back straightaway. I'm sitting up in a tower like, okay, there's, you know, nothing's going to happen. There's no, you know, let them, you know, I was worried that NASCAR, I was looking at the flag stand the whole time, making sure that yellow light didn't start flashing. And they're going to three to set them up on Logano, and then the flash happens. I just couldn't believe it. I'm like sick to my stomach right now.
Well, let me ask you, because you have a perspective that we don't have, because you could see more. Were you at the Xfinity race?
No, I wasn't. I didn't go last night.
Okay, I think a lot of what I don't understand is coming out of what they did last night in the Xfinity race or Saturday night, because in the Xfinity race, they left the green out there, and so I was confused by that. I kind of felt like they should have thrown the caution in the Xfinity race, but they didn't, and so that made me think that maybe they weren't going to throw the caution here, but then they did, and I need an explanation as to what's different. But as a Dale Jr. fan, I felt like I was listening to Dale and TJ all day, and they just, except for that one bad movie made, the race was great, and what they were going to do is they were going to push Harvick out into the front and then dump him and pass him and go on to win the race. So I'm angry too. It was it was a bummer.
Yeah, I wasn't on Junior's radio. I was on Harvick's radio after Tony wrecked. So I switched over to Harvick's radio, and then you probably heard the conversation the TJ had with Junior and stuff. I heard Harvick spotter say, you know, Tempito, he's like, I'm going to go talk to TJ right now, and they made that deal to push him, and, you know, he was pushing him, and then, you know, that's fine, you can dump him after we pass Logano and dump me, or, you know, dump Harvick, and then, you know, let him drag it out to the line or whatever, but they never got that chance.
Never got the chance.
That's my point.
Exactly. The caution came out, and the race is over, and Logano is the winner. Now, at
total BS.
Well, yeah, it's definitely disappointing for us. If you're a Joey Logano fan, your opinion is probably different. You know,
I was sitting in the tower, and they have elevators now. And right when the race ended, I ran to the elevator, because I was on the fourth floor, the tallest one, a new one. And everybody in the elevator was saying the same thing. Like, and yesterday in the Xfinity race, they let him finish. And, you know, people are mad, or you're cursing. I was cursing. I was just like, you know, it was great. The three wide was awesome, and just let him finish the race. You know what I mean? That's all he had to do. I mean, as a paying guy going there and have it in like that on their BS, it is. I mean, it was nothing would have changed. It was on the back straightaway. Having them come to the line, nothing would have changed. Let him finish the race.
We're gonna have to hear why they made that call. I'm sure there's something that we don't know. Something that somebody did, or a safety worker drove out onto the track, and you know, we don't know. But I
was sitting right off pit road, and it was clear. I looked the whole time. It happened off of two. There was nothing there.
But let me ask you, though, just for conspiracy theorists, because I already had someone tweet at me that she felt like that Penske made the move. You don't think that up there someone is saying, oh, Logano's in the lead, throw it now, throw the caution. We got the winner we want.
I doubt that.
Yeah, I do, too.
But I don't believe that at all, but I don't understand why they threw the caution. I mean, they're going to have some explaining to do big time, because I'm very mad right now going there and watching the end under yellow when it's unnecessary. The wreck happened in the middle of the back, or, you know, come off of two, and all the cars ended up in the middle of the back straightaway, and the workers had gone out right away. I mean, all the cars had been slowed down anyway. You know, they were slowed down going into three the same speed they were going into, like, after the finish line. They were in the same speed. So why would you not finish this race? Why would you not finish it? I mean, it's a joke. They could have been one of the greatest finishes in NASCAR history. You know, Harvick passing Logano going into three, and then Junior passing
Harvick for the lead, three wide at the stripe.
It could have been one of the greatest finishes, and they dropped the ball big time. This is like the Super Bowl, and when that guy made an interception, like, oh, they called it right there at the goal line. No, nothing. No drama. You know, it's over. You know, that's like a game seven moment. They want all this stuff, and then they drop the ball on it. This is what? I can't believe it right now.
It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. But see, I'm trying to divorce myself from that personal anger. Because, you know, my situation is different than your situation. My driver made a mistake. My driver got back to third, and that's really a miracle. But I saw Dale Jr.
I saw that when he went in the middle there, and they had this freight train. I couldn't believe it. But his car, you can't see the real TV, But he was, I mean, his car was so strong. I mean, I watched him rip through that field right back up there. I mean, he can go past people by himself. I mean, it was like he had a nitro when I went in on Junior's car.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so confident. I'm like, okay, here comes Junior, and then here comes Harvick. And I'm like, okay, here we go, man. Logano's done. I mean, I don't know. I don't like Logano and Brad. I don't like Floor. I'm a Chevy guy. You know, that's why I'm pulling for those guys. But, you know, they had them. And for NASCAR, if Logano won the race and beat them straight up, okay, that's fine. But for them not to have that game seven moment, for us not to see a finish under green, why we do all these stupid green-white checkers if we're not going to let them finish it under green? I mean, there was nothing there. It was all on the back straightaway. And unbelievable.
Mike, I hope you had a good time. Thanks for calling in.
I did, and to the end.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Talk to you later.
Later. And there you have it. The WFO radio listeners out there venting their anger about the caution flag at the end of the 2015 Daytona 500. I can understand it, obviously. Dale Jr. was about to push Harvick past Logano and then blow by Harvick and win his third. But it didn't happen.
Could have been, but I guess we'll never know.
That's it.
I got to admit, I was a little bit frustrated and upset in the spur of the moment and the emotion of it. But in the end, thinking about it, it's just, what are we going to do with NASCAR?
No, that's a part of the sport.
That's just it. It's the inconsistency of their actions.
But in this case,
it's the right call.
It's the right call.
No, it is the right call. But it's just, why didn't you do that same call the night before? Why didn't you make that same call the night before after there had been an accident where guys got hurt and all that?
And someone would say that you would have robbed the sport of an exciting finish in the Xfinity race. Brad Kay is out there leading, and then he loses momentum, and then they blow right by him. It's complicated. Look, in racing, there is the possibility that the race is going to end under caution. It just is the way it is. It's really more of a miracle that we had so few cautions in this particular race. 3 wide, 10 deep for a long period in that race.
Especially that whole last 30 some odd laps, that it was almost like a whole hour of live television time.
Yes.
It just seemed like if they were just 3 wide all the way deep through the field.
It was awesome. It was a spectacle.
It really was.
It really was.
It really was. There's just no complaining. It's just that it seems a little like, hey, wait a minute. Yesterday you didn't throw out the caution, and not today you did. Like, why would you do that to me?
It's simple as this. If you're a Harvick or a Junior fan, you think what might have been. And if you're a Joey Logano fan, you're happy as heck.
But you know what?
There it is.
You can't complain either way. Joey Logano winning is really good for the sport. It's good for him. You said it earlier. It's almost a passing of the torch.
It is.
Like when Gordo came in his first race, last race for the King. Well,
and
this is Gordo's last season at Daytona.
And he earned it. Joey Logano, it's a shame. I love to rail on the TV broadcast, and there were several moments that I could rail on the TV broadcast. They missed the pass for the lead. Joey Logano got up there and passed Dale Earnhardt Jr. After everyone said no one can pass Dale Earnhardt Jr., Joey Logano did it. Just we didn't see it live. We didn't feel it. They were at break, and then they came back and showed us a replay. So it almost didn't happen if it happened at break. But Joey Logano passed Dale Jr. for the lead, which is why Dale Jr. was in position to make his bad move, which shuffled him back to 18th. Joey Logano earned the race win, period. Now, WFO Radio Fantasy results. First time, 2015. Giovanni, are you ready?
Absolutely.
The weekly winner, and the results are on WFOradio.com in the links section. The WFO Radio Fantasy League trophy is over my left shoulder with the names embossed back to the first year. Much like the Borg Warner trophy, if you win the league, your name is on the trophy. And at the start of the season, we have 98 participants in our league. 98 participants in our league. And the weekly winner, can you guess? You'll never guess it.
You fairy.
That's right.
You're kidding me.
Nope. He was.
This
he lost.
Guy.
You just heard him on the phone line. He lost a bet to Team 14. He had to change his name to whatever Team 14 wanted. Team 14 named him Fairy Dust because it's a little childish sounding name.
You fairy.
And he goes out and wins the first week of the WFO Radio League with 324 points. Now, it's got to be bittersweet. If he'd only had that score one race ago. His name would be on the trophy. It would be Pink Powder Puff Racing.
Allocations, my friend, allocations.
It's got to be very frustrating. Fairy Dust with 324. Edgar Mellencamp Racing with 304 second. Mr. Where Did He Come From? 298. Big Mike. Big Mike is back. 292. Brian in Louisiana, 288. Tied with Goodyear Racing, Justin Clapper, and Up in Smoke. Dear Lord Baby Jesus, 280. Eastern Competition, 278. And tied for 9th and 10th, along with Kramer Power. They are back
and
in the lead.
And Miller Man.
Where do you see Miller Man?
Right underneath Kramer Power. Miller Man.
Well, but I'm reading the top 10. That's the top 10.
They're tied for 9th.
Oh, wow. Patrick did not include him in the graphic.
Oh, Patrick. Leaving Miller Man out.
The top 10 graphic. Miller Man, who is... All right. You get the phone gig. Los Jingones, 274, was out at the CarQuest Auto Parts NHRA Nationals in Arizona this past week and lost the Twitter Kumite to Rich and Saugus. That's big news. So much going on the show. The Twitter Kumite between Rich and Saugus and Los Jingones, it came down to the wire. But in the end, I think Los Jingones lost because he was at the racetrack. Although he was posting lots of great tweets from the racetrack, but he lost 1,476 to 1,079. Rich and Saugus is the first ever Twitter Kumite winner.
Rich put his foot on the gas there at the end, huh?
He did. He put the thump on him.
I'm shocked that they both picked up almost over a thousand. And just under 1,000 for Lowe. That's unbelievable in about, what, 3 weeks?
While we're talking about it, Tina Stull from Tina Stull Racing, at Tina Stull Racing, has agreed to come back on WFO Radio because we have received a lot of questions about Twitter. She's going to answer more questions about Twitter, so email them in.
Part two of the Twitter how-to with Tina Stull.
Correct. It's like a series that we are having on WFO Radio. A series, Twitter how-to on WFO Radio with at Tina Stull Racing, except this time we're promoting it in advance and asking you for your questions. joe@wforadio.com. Or you can just tweet at Tina Stull, but I would prefer you email them to me so I can ask her when she comes on the show next week. A lot of our listeners really got a lot out of that. These two increased their Twitter following by 1,000 followers. She's going to help you. Do you have a question? joe@wforadio.com and put Twitter in the subject line. The Aussie Battler was 13th. Hooper tied for 13th, 14th, and 15th with the Northwest Nitro Fanatics. Junior 24, 48 was 16th. The Mominator 48 was 17th. Smothered and Covered 18th. Rumblers and Vegas Rules 19th and 20th. Mrs. Dirty Hippies tied for 21st and 22nd with Schooners Limited. The Dirty Hippies 23rd along with DRT 99. Certified Racing and Intimidator Harley tied for 25th. South Dakota Alicia 27th. Flashover Racing 28th along with Hot for 48th. That's got to be Mrs. Mike English. I'm just guessing. I don't know for sure. Mindy. It's got to be. Sacramento Racing Fan 28th, The Bug Barn. You know
Bobby
who that is.
In the
That's
bayou.
Bobby's Bug Barn.
That's our boy.
The WFO listeners twisted his arm to get in there, and he's in there. Lady Oz 32nd, Scooter McUpdraft. That's new. The team names are the best part, and you notice I'm reading everybody's team name on the first one. 34th, Federal Racing. Do you have any idea who that is? Federal Racing?
Yeah, Slash.
As in... Right, as in direct from D.C. Going Dad 81 is 34th. Hockey Dad is 36th. Rudolph Motorsports 1264 tied for 36th.
I'm happy to hear some of these new names.
DRT 20 is 38th. Moonchild 38th. Hey, Moonchild's back. That's awesome. Moonchild has been listening to the show for forever, since the satellite days, and she's out there listening still. Never makes contact. Never sends an email.
Like
never makes a call. Never. But that's why this is so rewarding to see that there's people that they're listening. They're still listening, Gio. All this time over cross platforms and multiple changes and catastrophes and death. And she's still listening, the Moonchild, maybe. Or maybe just, you know, emails. Team Jimmy J, 45 can drive, 41st. 41st tie is Barbecue Bob. Car 24 is 33rd, tied with Kyle Means Petty. Team 14 and WFO Joe, along with Uper 88. Look at me, 226. Thanks, Landon Castle. R&K Racing Buddies. Going to have a lot of fun with that. at some point, not now. 48, Super Crash, Team English, 85 Racing, the Elephant Racers, Rich and Saugus, Team Strange. I can't read everybody's name. There's 100 names.
You're only halfway there.
No Heartbeat Racing. No Heartbeat Racing. Eat My Dust. Bark Dem Tires. Colombian Bam Bam.
That's
from Talladega Nights. Here's Hoppin', the Tennessee Money Man. Way to be in the bottom half, TN Money Man. Curling Kid, 61st.
Hockey Kid.
Hockey Kid is now Curling
he
Kid.
He gets it.
He does.
Love Hockey Kid.
Going Chad, 82. JG24LKB. Pavlov's Dogs. Black Ice. Checkers or Wreckers. Clearside with the crazy font. NAR. Robertson Racing. Miss Little Low. That is the daughter of Lowe's Jinkone. 70th. 196. Good to see someone did worse than me. Welcome to the league, Miss Little Low. Fuel Tank Gambler. Thunderbolts and Lightning. Four Zilch. Bulls Wool. Geo Racing 190? What happened?
TS came home.
Oh, yeah. X90 LS1 Racing. Aviator Racing. We're in the 70s now. 001 Red and the Avenging Avies. Craig and Sonora. Miss Black Ice. JJ48 Rocks. That could also be Mrs. Mike English. Woodchuck. Somebody said they were Woodchuck. DRT Girl. Mrs. Steve the Trucker. Super Gas Racer, last place. Last place, that's just perfect. Patrick's NASCAR, Rubin, Steve the Trucker, Restrictor Plate, really Restrictor Plate? Really?
You might as well have not set a team Restrictor
just
Plate.
Just quit. 90th, Mattitude, 91st, Pugzilla, James Gang, 48, Never Stop Improving, Little Lowe's Jinkones. Wow, his sister just whooped up on him. That's got to be rough. In the household now, listening now. Kids are surrounding the big wooden radio in the living room, waiting for Little Orphan Annie to come on, and they're hearing this. And all of a sudden, now Miss Little Low is ahead of Little Low. And Little Low has got to fight back. You fight back, Little Low, but, you know, obviously. And look at the man in brown, Rudy the UPS guy, 96th with 82 points. And the car acrobatic team, 0. And PDX Paddy Wagon, 0. They did not set their team for the first race of the year. And
unacceptable, guys. Unacceptable.
Yeah, but you're only 82 behind Rudy the UPS guy. And those are the Fantasy League scores for the first week in the WFO Fantasy League. Remember, the winner gets their name on the trophy.
And what a beautiful trophy it is. I'm going to get my name on there one of these days. I don't know how, because I really, I'm not as good as I used to be. I used to always finish top 10 and be battling for the championship, and I don't know. I don't know what it is that is in my life now that doesn't allow me to have the charts and graphs and the whiteboard and that extra office room in my house.
You're blaming your young son for your failures. It's horrible.
Yeah, I just...
It's horrible. What's my excuse?
There is none for
me. My little nephew requires so much of my attention. I cannot...
Oh, get out of here.
No? Look, the real answer is you're not willing to do what it takes, because the man who does what it takes is Rich York of the Dirty Hippies, the only four-time WFO Radio Fantasy League champion. If you look at the trophy, his name is on the trophy four times for 4 years. Will it be on again? So much so that he gives a tip every week. Here comes the first Dirty Hippie Fantasy Tippy of 2015.
This is the Dirty Hippies with your tip of the week. A lot of injuries and suspensions now over the next couple weeks. All our prayers have been answered in the C division for now. So David Reagan's going to be in Kyle's car. Regan Smith's going to be in Kurt's car. So for the next few weeks, just burn them out, because towards the end of the year, if Kyle's back, if Kurt comes back, you're going to be using Danica, and you don't want to do that. A couple other drivers I'm looking at. Of course, Casey Kane, he's going to be running good here. Matt Kenseth always runs good on the mile and a halfs. And I think Truex Jr. is going to have a real strong year, real strong engine program this year. So he'd be a good one to pick from back in the pack. Dirty Hippies, it's your tip of the week.
I love that tip of the week. That was really good information right there. That's why this guy is the only four-time WFO Fantasy League champion, and his name is on the trophy so many times. That was good stuff right there. Way to go, Rich.
That was definitely not the rope-a-dope.
No, that was excellent stuff. And there you have it. To it. Speaking of Rudy the UPS guy, Rudy picks WFO. Hashtag Rudy picks WFO. Favorite one of the two pictures, and that will be his Twitter icon. He needs the help of the WFO audience. Rudy picks WFO. And pick a picture. go to the hashtag, and by clicking favorite, I'm going to pick mine right now. I'm going to pick the one that doesn't have a thumb over the camera. That's the one. I'm going to go with this one, Rudy. Him over there by Tony Stewart's car. Now, before we hit the break and come back and make our picks for this weekend's action in Atlanta, I want to tell you about Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Frank's been on with us for a while, and he's got a program called the Dragster Adventure. Have you driven a dragster before? Do you know what it's like? Have you felt the power, the speed, the experience? Go to the website right now, or whenever you have time. FrankHawley.com. Go to the Dragster Adventure portion of the website and check out the schedule. Courses start at $399. You might be thinking, well, it sounds like a lot, except you're not riding along. You're driving. You're in charge of your own destiny. You've got the helmet on. You're in front of a big block Chevrolet. You're accelerating from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. And 0 to 130 in a quarter mile. They even offer side-by-side racing. They've got a full schedule. March 2nd and 3rd coming up. Guess where they're going to be? Phoenix, Arizona. March 4th, Dragster Adventure, Phoenix, Arizona. Then Gainesville. They're going to be all over the country. Go to the website, frankhawley.com, or give them a call. And if you call them, and if you order, they'll break it up into 4 easy payments. That's right.
Can't beat that.
But wait, there's more. 866-480-7223. 866-480-7223. You got to tell them you heard it on WFO. Frank, the guys on WFO were talking about you. Can I really drive a dragster? Yes, you can. 866-480-7223. That's the Dragster Adventure at frankhawley.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at RedlineOil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back at ZMAX Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. Nationals are going to rock your world. C-Chon Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS.
W-F-O.
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 WFO!
WFO.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO!
Take me to the action, take me to the track, take me to a party if they're betting in the back. I've been working all my life, can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas! It's that time of week once again, the WFO Radio Tailgate Party Handicappers picking you winners for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action on the Las Vegas odds as seen by the folks at William Hill, the home of betting. Last week, we picked a winner. The show picked a winner. It was us. We were all together. We did it together. It was this man showing the way, though, Bob Smith, out there in Las Vegas. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys. Winning.
Winning. Congratulations. You started us off with authorita.
You know, it. He ran well all race, so I give him credit for that. But, you know, anybody could have won it right there at the end. You know, it was all scripted, and Jeff Gordon was going to get that last win at Daytona, and then Junior was going to win again, back-to-back.
Back-to-back,
you know, so
yeah.
So just so many stories that were there and then evaporated.
So you're you're a Dale Jr. fan. How did you feel?
You know, I know he's kicking himself about, you know, how he should have won the race. But, you know, you can't do the shoulda, woulda, couldas because you'll make yourself crazy.
I know he says that and you say that, but I'm sure he's going to be thinking about that for the rest of his life. I see a silver lining in it, actually, and that's what I do. I try to find the silver lining in just about everything. And it annoys some people, but it's true. But look at it this way, Bob. Dale Jr. has come all the way now that... You know, he's been through so much over his career, and he goes out there and, you know, loses one, comes close, but loses one because of him. And there's no thought about is he overrated or underrated or good driver? Is it the equipment or is it the crew chief or is it this or is it that? All this ancillary talk. He just went out there and was an athlete and failed. Still came on third, got back to third. Isn't that what it's supposed to be about, as opposed to all that other extra stuff on the side? This is the
exactly.
This is the one that got away for Dale Jr. This is the one that over his career, just like I'll give you an example. Giovanni does not know what I'm about to say. The New York Yankees in World Series during the most recent run, Giovanni, the one that got away.
04.
04?
We were up 3-0.
See, I thought you were going to say Arizona. After September 11th, when we had it won and the infield was in and Mariano Rivera gave up. Really?
Yeah,
04 is the one you come up? You ruined the example?
That was even closer. That was more recently, but that wasn't the World Series.
No, it wasn't.
But we were in the World Series. We were up 3-0 in the championship game. Games, series.
But you can't call that the one that got away. Mariano Rivera wasn't closing it out. So you can obviously see we're on the same page here.
That was Mr. Torres' fault.
Well, the point is that this is going to be that for Dale Jr., the one we're all going to talk about going back when we're celebrating his career and all the great victories. The one that got away is going to be 2015. Man, if when he ends his career with 5 Daytona 500 wins, it could have been 6 if not for 2015. Aw, man, bummer. But it is what it is, and Joey Logano won it, and you had it, and that is great. You'll be picking first.
And the show starts off the year the same way we left off, picking winners.
Picking winners, but now it's time to move forward with the Folds of Honor 500 out there at Atlanta Motor Speedway in Hotlanta, the ATL, baby. And the favorite, as you guys see it at William Hill, 11-2, Kevin Harvick. How are you coming to that?
If you look historically at Atlanta, Kevin Harvick has dominated here except for one category, and that'd be the win. Now, you'd think that that would be the one that would count it, but he does do very, very well here, and he dominates here, except then something happens and he doesn't win. So he's still our favorite.
I got to say, I know in our show there's just so much content to talk about, but I want to make a mention that Kevin Harvick did a great job doing color commentary of the Xfinity race, and I'm not asking him to retire immediately and join the broadcast team or anything, but I felt like he was a 10 out of 10 excellent. That's the guy. Right now, I know Gordon is out there and available, but you're going to have a tough time doing better than what Kevin Harvick did in the Xfinity race. It was great. It was great. I loved it. I learned. It was a million reasons why it was great. Way to go, Harvick. He is the favorite. Jeff Gordon, 6-1. Brad Keselowski, 13-2. Joey Logano, 8-1. Jimmy Johnson, 8-1. Matt Kenseth, 10-1, along with Dale Jr., Carl Edwards, and Denny Hamlin. Casey Kane is 11-1, and those are the drivers that are available for our favorite pick. The dark horses have to be 15-1 or greater. We make two picks a week. Here are the dark horses. At 18-1, you got Kyle Larson. At 25-1, you've got Ryan Newman. At 30-1, you have Jamie McMurray, Clint Bowyer, Tony Stewart, all at 30-1. At 50-1, you've got Greg Biffle and Martin Truex Jr. At 75-1, you've got Austin Dillon and Paul Menard. At 100-1, you've got Regan Smith and Eric Almirola. At $1.25, you got Trevor Bayh, Buck Fitty, A.J. Allmendinger, and the boyfriend, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. At 200, you got Sam Hornish Jr. Wow, Bob, you're going deep in the odds. What's up with that?
If you look at who these guys, you know, and how they've been doing, you got to pop them up there.
Stenhouse, 150-1. That's worth a couple of bucks, all you people out there who happen to be in Nevada. Danica is 300-1. Casey Mears is 400-1. The field is 40-1. And those are the odds for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. The order is Bob, myself, Giovanni, and Tom going last. That's right. Tom will be joining us this week. Tommy Noodles making a pick.
No way.
Yeah. It's the truth. It's the truth. Last week he had
Tommy Noodles?
America's favorite funny man. Yes, Tommy Noodles is still on WFO. That is right, from time to time. Bob, take it away.
You know, I think I have to put an asterisk here that we are doing this before the testing on Thursday.
Thank you for making our excuse for us in advance. That is so true. I, as the host of the show, and Giovanni as partner in Not Crime, but we didn't want to say that because it sounds like whining in advance, but you are totally entitled to do it. Good point, Bob.
Well, this way it kind of works to our advantage and as a disadvantage, because if we do well, we say, oh yeah, we knew that. Then if we do bad, we can say, you know, we did it before the testing.
Total X factor. These new rules, this is one of those moments of the show. We haven't really gone in depth about what we think we're going to see, because what's the point in that? We're going to watch, and then next week we'll talk about what we saw and what we thought of it. and that is, it's the, you know, the dichotomy, is that the word, of talk radio. We're preferring to spend our time on other things. Next week we'll have real evidence, but we have to make picks right now.
All right, let's go with our picks. But I will say that you're going to see a lot of loose cars. Anyway, for my picks, I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. I think that's no surprise. I talked about how he's dominated and just hasn't got the wins. I think he gets the win. Coming off of how well he did at Daytona, I think he just carries it in and gets the win.
Harvick. Bob Smith takes Kevin Harvick at 11.5-2, which is 5.5-1.
If he doesn't, then my long shot is going to be there. I'm going to go with a guy at 30-1, and I'm getting great price. I'm going to go with Tony Stewart. Now, I know people say, oh, he's washed up now. He's not as good as he was. Don't tell me that. He's still Tony. He's still got that fire. He still wants to do well. And I think at 30-1, I'm getting a great price.
Is that what they're saying, Bob? Let's explore that a little bit for a little longer. Is that what they're saying, that Tony Stewart is washed up?
It's funny because I have a person that works here at the office that is a Tony Stewart fan, and even he's saying it. I'm like, no, 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 no.
What do you think about that, Giovanni, Tony Stewart fan? They're talking about your driver is washed up. I hadn't heard that just yet, but...
You were the first one out there throwing that out there, washed up. Well, we're going to find out.
I don't think he's washed up.
Last year was a throwaway with the injuries and the medical red shirt, and he's going to come back and show us what he's got. Now, if he
I
didn't
agree
perform
with you.
This
I,
year,
I picked him.
I agree. Atlanta's a track where he's always run well, except for the last
Bob,
time
Bob
here.
Picked him. Yeah,
but Bob,
You need to watch the video there, Bob.
I hope you're right, Bob. I think Tony Stewart could definitely bring it home for us this week.
Your friend is wrong. He's not washed up.
I didn't think so.
I love the way he came
to Danica's, watch the tape.
Danica's rescue in the battle against Denny Hamlin. The audio breakdown is in our archive. You got to hear it. It's awesome. When Tony comes in and Denny's like, Tony, I didn't touch her.
We're friends.
It's great. All right, Bob takes Kevin Harvick and Tony Stewart. That is a excellent pick that comes to me now. And clearly very difficult to pick a winner. I thought about Carl Edwards, the Gibbs Toyotas, and Edwards. This is the track where he first excelled. And it's an easy pick to make, but I didn't go with that pick. Obviously, Kenseth, come on. Kenseth has got a real high probability. I really feel, though, that this week is going to be driven by another layer of determination by Dale Jr. He knows he dropped the ball. He knows he let that one get away, the one that got away. He knows it. But he's still got great equipment and fastest. Greg Ives is really impressive. And he's getting his feet wet for his first win to come at the Daytona 500. Maybe a little much to ask, but it wasn't his mistake. It was Junior's mistake that lost the race. Nonetheless, I think they're able to get it in his second week. Dale Jr. runs great at Atlanta. He loves Atlanta. Atlanta's one of those classic NASCAR tracks, old school. Dale Jr., 10-1, starting the season off strong once again. But now my dark horse.
It's a very good pick.
Thank you very much. I feel comfortable and confident about it. The other way I was going to go was potentially with Carl Edwards, but I ended up going with Junior. You can only pick one favorite. Now the dark horses, this is a bit tougher in that, you know, I want to win here. I want to get on the board. There's a driver that has been out there, and everyone feels like he could win at any week, but when's it going to happen? And Atlanta seems like a track where drivers get their first win. And so give me Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson, 18-1. Kid is just a ball of extreme talent, and he's very likable. Not that that matters at all, but I think he's going to get his first win in Atlanta at 18-1, and I'm going to get on the board, and I'm going to be like booyah next week. It's going to be all over the place. And so there you go, Dale Jr. and Kyle Larson. Next up, Giovanni in Miami. Go.
Well, all right. New season, same old results. WFO picking winners. I got to say, Atlanta. We have no idea what's going to happen. Hopefully, if you're out there in Vegas and you're going to make a wager, wait till after the test tomorrow and maybe after practice on Friday also. But, Bob, I got to say, I love the Harvick pick. That's the way I would have gone if I was picking first. But since I'm not, I was about to go for Brad Kay. But seeing what happened last week and the engine failure and being that this is a really fast track, I'm going to wait for Brad Kay to get himself going. I'm going to go with the guy you can't go wrong with, Jimmy Johnson.
Oh.
New car, same old stuff.
Yep.
Who do we go with? The greatest driver of the modern era, Jimmy Johnson.
Double J.
And for the Double long J. shot.
Can't disagree with that.
No, you can't.
And for the long shot, I was looking at thinking of somebody like KFK, but I saw that he's not actually a long shot. He was real close to the border there at 11-1. So I clearly didn't take that. And I was considering Clint Bowyer, but I was afraid of the Toyotas, and I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. So I said, new car. We don't know how it's going to be. Bob said it earlier. We're going to a bunch of loose cars. Who drives a great loose car but the Biff? Give me Greg Biffle.
Wow.
So there you have
Roush it. Roush Racing.
Jimmy Johnson, and if he doesn't come through, maybe another Ford sneaks into victory lane to start the season with the Biff.
You know, it's interesting. The Ford situation, how Penske has kind of taken the top-tier status away from Roush at Ford. We're just picking which of the Ford teams is the most dominant. What would you say? You have to say Penske.
Well, yeah, they got
you
a championship.
You got to say Penske. And that is, I don't want to say it's blasphemy, but it's shocking since they just switched a couple of years ago. So it's unfortunate for the Roush fans, but it looked like Roush is going to be there this year as well. And finally, he calls in from where? Way far away. Where is he?
From the Orange Grove on the side of the...
No, road. Man. Remember, he's the best Chevrolet salesperson on the planet. He made a little time for us. Bob, I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this, but you might. Comedian Tommy Noodles.
WFO. Just trying to make some picks. seeing what I can do. Hopefully the Tommy Noodles curse does not affect too many people this year. I'm thinking maybe we wore it out. We used it all up when someone gets suspended from racing indefinitely. So let's make some picks. We'll make it easy. You know, as you guys are used to, I'm going last. Why would it be any different this year? But let's try to change it. Let's go long shot. I'm thinking Clint Boyer, 30-1, excellent choice. You know, has a great car. I think this year can definitely improve. So a win will definitely look good for them. And then let's go with the favorite. I am going Carl Edwards with this new team. Going to show, same as Matt Kenseth did, that this is a good choice. Start out early. Get the win on the board. This way they don't have anything to worry about. They'll know they're in the chase. If he wasn't in a Toyota and more of a Chevy, I would have totally taken him as my favorite 2015 driver of the year. But, of course, he is in a Toyota. I'm unable to do that. But hopefully just that thought alone does not curse him. So those are my picks. Carl Edwards, Clint Boyer. Edwards is 10-1. Boyer's 30-1. Those are my picks. And I'll talk to you next week. Hopefully it won't be last.
Tommy Noodles weighing in. Bob, were you able to hear Tommy Noodles pick Carl Edwards and Clint Boyer as his picks?
You know, that's why, Tommy, it's always good when he can join us.
It is great. It is, and for those that don't know, and let's just spend a moment, the Tommy Noodles curse this year for the first time ever. Tommy always comes on the show every year and picks a new driver, and we experiment with, is the Tommy Noodles curse real? Every driver he picks has some sort of horrific flame out. Well, this year, for the first time, he picked the same driver he had last year because he felt like he could switch up the curse or trick the curse, or and he went back with Kurt Busch, and Kurt Busch was suspended indefinitely from the sport.
Sorry.
You gotta love Tommy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the curse is real. It's real. It's frightening. It's real. I don't want to talk about it too much more because it's real. This guy is wielding a power the likes of which we do not understand. And it was a week after, 2 weeks after Tommy Noodles picked Kurt Busch as his driver again. Kurt Busch is literally out of the sport. I don't know what to say.
Being erased from NASCAR.
Being erased from NASCAR is what they're saying, that they're taking him off all the websites, everything. Tommy Noodles takes Carl Edwards and Clint Boyer as his drivers. Giovanni in Miami takes Jimmy Johnson and Greg Biffle as his drivers. I took Dale Jr. and Kyle Larson, and Bob takes Kevin Harvick and Tony Stewart. Bob, great job. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy the races.
There he goes, Bob Smith from William Hill, the home of betting. Well, wasn't that great? The Tailgate Party Pick Show, second one of the year, and we're on a streak, baby. Yeah, the Tommy Noodles curse thing is really a frightening deal.
How about Brian Williams? You got Brian Williams taken off the air? I mean, it just goes on and on.
On and on. I don't know what the story is, but it is a little bit frightening. You can always email us, joe@wforadio.com, or call in the wide open line, 954-889-6796, with your questions, your comments, your thoughts here on the program. I want to remind everybody, download the free mobile application, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. I found this great thing on my iPhone. I know it's crazy. You have this thing for all the time, but if you've got an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 4S or in the updated iOS system, Giovanni, do you have your phone in front of you?
Absolutely.
Do it right now. Go to this purple icon called Podcasts. Do you have that one? It comes standard on the iPhone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go to it.
Okay.
You found it. Now select it.
Okay,
now in the search box in the lower right-hand corner, you see the magnifying glass.
Yes,
it says
I do.
Search. Search for WFO Radio.
Oh, well, I guess I must have already because it's popping up WFO Radio Show.
And the show, too. And subscribe. And so we have our own free WFO radio app. And of course, there's iTunes for the podcasters and there's Stitcher. But this thing, I've been experimenting now with it, listening to the Poker Action Line show, which is produced out of these studios as well. You can listen on a plane. You can listen on a train. You can listen on with a Fox. You can listen in a box.
wherever and however you want.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did notice the logo.
The new icon.
Yeah.
Which is featured on the back of the WFO Radio black t-shirts. We have black. We got white. They're in the WFO store. And people are buying
ebony
them.
Ebony and ivory.
They're buying them like gangbusters. If you want a black WFO Radio t-shirt.
Hurry, buddy.
Especially if you're 2X, you better move. You better move. Because people want them. We got a lot of larger, huskier, heftier kind of
That's because we're big racing fans around here.
Maybe
big
so.
Racing fans.
Is there anything else we need to get into in this program? Inevitably, there is something we always miss or forget, but don't worry. We'll get to it next week. It is a...
But Gio did get the contraction under control.
It is a serious... I've lost 15 pounds.
Expansion is what I actually meant.
I am down 15 pounds.
That's a lot.
I give the credit to the Rodax coffee.
So
I do.
You change, instead of eating a meal, you just drink a coffee?
Yes.
Now, that can't be all that healthy. I mean, no offense.
No,
to
they've
Mr.
done
Barber,
tests. But... You can't drink too much coffee. They've done it. Even the FDA says
it. No, but not
it.
Eating is what I'm saying can't be too
healthy. I'm eating. I'm just not overeating.
Isn't that the death of us all?
It is. It really is.
Those,
don't overeat.
Late night munchy snacks.
Move around more and eat less.
Wow, dude.
That's it.
You are clairvoyant. You mean to tell me that
yep.
it's real simple to lose weight? It's just don't eat as much as you were eating before?
You
less
know,
calories in, more calories out?
My radio mentor was a fat person, and he was always battling dietary stuff, you know, the Atkins and all of that stuff. And people loved weight loss radio. People love it. People love weight loss radio. They love talking about it and thinking about it and all the diets and the foods and everything. And I actually have been recently thinking about how to incorporate a little of that into our program, which is what we're doing right now by total accident. Just kind of came up. But in the end, move around more and consume less is the secret. You get up in the morning. The first thing you do is you drink a big glass of water to get your metabolism going.
Oh, I thought to fill your belly.
Probably both. Then what I like to do is I like to do 3 sets of push-ups, 15 push-ups each, just to get going. Boom, boom, boom. And then I go about my business doing normal stuff. Everything I've been eating, whatever it is, I cut it in half. I eat half. Like I put out my normal, okay, this is what I want to eat, and then I only eat half.
What do you do with the other half?
I eat it later in smaller portions. And then, and that's it. And I've been drinking a lot of water and... A lot of coffee.
Now, I gotta
a lot.
Say,
I have three coffees a day. I got one in the morning, one at 2 o'clock, one at 5 o'clock.
Puny little scrawny arms of yours can go and do 45 push-ups back to back to back.
Are you serious?
I mean, I'm not gonna challenge you on the air or anything like that, but you know, I really don't know that you could do 45.
How about as soon as the show ends, I bang
so
out
we'll see.
45 push-ups. You don't can you do 3 sets of 15 push-ups? That's the real question. Why should I be the only one doing it? How about we do the head-to-head push-up challenge?
I have an advantage. You see, first of all, my belly's going to be closer to the ground than yours, so I might be able to just hold myself up.
Yeah, your belly just sits on the ground
hey,
the whole time.
Whatever works.
That doesn't count. And there's no girl push-ups allowed. Sorry, ladies. Is there a new word for girl push-ups? Knee push-ups or something that's a little more PC?
Yeah.
Seems like something that they would want to change. Well, there you what are you laughing at? This is WFO. That's what it's all about. All right, folks, that's going to do it. I want to remind you, check out the Poker Action Line show as well. We love those guys. They were out live at a casino at a tournament last week. It went great. They were on location. You could hear the chips clicking in the background. It was tremendous. Big Dave and Joe, our great friends. And me and Gio were just like listening just like you all. You can get that on your podcast catcher as well. Type Poker Action Line. Thanks to Bob Smith, of course, Tommy Noodles for weighing in. It was absolutely great. WFO Ignition, and inevitably, if we didn't get to it this week, we'll get to it next week. There you go. Don't forget to check out NHRA Nitro. Tony Schumacher, Matt Hagen, Roger Brogdon, all on the show. Last week, the Warren Johnson interview, just blowing up. Competition Plus wrote a whole story using all the quotes from the interview.
No, that was a good interview. I heard it on the way home.
Oh, yeah? Week. Yeah, now Warren,
man, he's got so much information.
The man built a cam grinding machine at 10 years of age. Exactly. You can't even imagine it. It's just intelligence, which is why one of the reasons why I love motorsports. got a lot of smart people. To all of our new listeners, if you made it to this point, can we make an appointment for next week? Download the WFO Radio app or check the archive. You can hear all of our shows on iTunes. And at this moment, there's something new that is coming, but I'm not able to say it at this moment. But if you're listening to and on the something that is new, welcome. And next week, we'll talk all about it. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.